Okay, good evening everybody. We are now in Parashat Ki Tavo. After we had Ki Tetze, we have Ki Tavo. And one of the... Of course, like all the parashiyot, they are connected to what's happening now. It's not like we always have to mention it again and again and again. Like today, also I had not an argument, a discussion about, for example, Pesach. Why do we celebrate Pesach?
Remember to
help the matzah factory.
So what happened first? What happened first? Yetziat Mitzrayim, and then Pesach. And then we celebrate Pesach. So how is it? I want to understand. 1 minute. They say that Avraham Avinu kept Pesach. How could he keep Pesach and it didn't happen yet? Interesting, huh? Yeah. So, what's going on here?
Lot is supposed to have made matzah as well.
The same thing. Yeah. So it was Pesach.
It was probably the food that they
ate. So, I want to understand. Is Pesach, is Yetziat Mitzrayim before Pesach or Pesach before Yetziat Mitzrayim?
Well, Pesach
the dream, what, well, sorry?
Pesach as we know it.
Or maybe we don't know it.
Maybe we don't
care. In a minute we'll understand.
But is the saying that we received the Torah after that we did a lot of things that was written in the Torah?
The same question.
The same thing.
The same question. So I want to understand what is before what.
It's very difficult to understand.
Do you know what's before what? First
Torah,
of all,
the Torah
is before everything.
Everything.
So now I have to understand, how is it?
No, it's written there.
Maybe
yeah, I'm saying, when was it written?
In the Torah, when Hashem...
So how is it written in the Torah that we went out of Egypt?
Yes.
If we haven't even got the Torah yet.
Well, like you said,
did you think about it?
I thought about it.
Same question. I say this is not a question about Pesach. It's a question of understanding what is the Torah about. For example, let's see in our parsha. The guy brings Bikurim, and what does he say in the Bikurim? You tell me if it ticks something anywhere. Vanita ve'amarta pasuk hey. In the beginning of the parsha, in pasuk hey, perek afav, pasuk 5. Okay. Got it. Vanita, he brings the Bikurim and then he starts saying something, and one of the things he's saying, Vanita v'amarta lifnei Hashem Elokecha, and he will answer and say in front of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Arami oved avi, v'yered Mitzrayima, v'yagor sham bivtei me'at, v'yisham legoi gadol atzum v'rav, v'yareu otanu ha-Mitzrayim. Does it remind you something?
Yeah.
What?
Pesach.
I didn't ask a question of Pesach Stam. So I'm asking, what is the connection between the guy who brings Bikurim to Pesach? What's the connection? You know, it's very interesting what you're saying. En mukdam mochar b'Torah. This is the answer of everything. So we can answer everything with En mukdam mochar b'Torah, and we then got an answer on everything. But we have to understand, if the Torah decides to tell things in a certain way,
must be
a reason. Nevertheless, when you learn the Zohar, Kabbalah, you understand and realize that En Mukdam Mochar Torah is not true. The Torah is built in a certain system. For those who learn the surface of the Torah, you can say En Mukdam Mochar Torah in order to explain to them why this is before this. But the real truth is that the Torah doesn't just choose to tell something before something else. There must be a reason. And the reason is that the Torah that we learn normally is only on the surface. It's not the inside of the Torah. In other words, Pesach, the Rav Dessler says, a very interesting thing. What moves The time or us?
The time.
Us. Time doesn't move. That's what Rav Destor says. In other words, Pesach is there always. We move. We move. Not Pesach. Pesach is there. It's the same. Think about it philosophically. That's the idea behind the Torah. The Torah is there always. We go through it. In other words, when Rosh Hashanah comes, it's a day that has a skula of Rosh Hashanah. When Yom Kippur comes, it's the day has the skula of Yom Kippur. It's the same Yom Kippur that was 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, and 2 years ago. It's the same Yom Kippur exactly. That's why now we can understand the power of the time. When they tell us in Chodesh Elul, Ani le dodi ve dodi li, that's Amelech Basadeh, the king is in the field. What does this mean? What does it mean? It means that this particular time is a special time that God is very close to us. In other words, the time is not going to change. It's going to be the same time next year. We are getting older. Time doesn't change. We are walking in time. If you think like this, we start to understand that Pesach was really there all the time. Because Pesach didn't move. And because that Pesach was a Zman Mesugal, because Pesach was the time that Am Yisrael can go out of Egypt, then they went out of Egypt on Pesach, and not the other way. In other words, the ability to go out of Egypt was because of the time, Pesach. That's why Avraham Avinu keeps Pesach. Now, if you want to go a little deeper into it, the idea of Yetziat Mitzrayim, is it really an historical story? Is the Torah a story? History? What is the Torah?
It's a living Torah.
In other words, when the Torah tells us about Am Yisrael going out of Egypt, when they tell us on Leil HaSeder to feel like we are going out of Egypt now, what is the meaning? Are we really going out of Egypt every year?
Well, we're told, we're commanded to feel it, to read. So.
In other words, there is something special at that time that you can go. What is the idea of Pesach? Yotzim me'avdut lecherut, from slavery to freedom. That's the idea of Pesach. It's not the Yetziat Mitzrayim that Am Yisrael just walked from one spot to the other spot. Big deal. For this I have the Pesach. Pesach is going out from Tuma to Tahara, getting out from slavery to freedom of mind, to freedom of the soul. That's the idea of Pesach. And that's why when the guy brings Bikurim, he says the same thing we say on Pesach. Why? Because Bikurim is one of the most important mitzvahs that there is. But we haven't got it today. We talked about it this week. Do we do Bikurim today?
No,
yes, we do. We do every morning, every day, and everything we do. The first Bikurim is the first thing you do. The first thing, the first result of what you do, the first thought is to whom?
To Hashem.
To the Kodesh Baruch Hu. When I wake up in the morning, what do I say? Modeh ani lefanecha. I don't start my day before I daven. Wash my hands. Do all those things in order to, first of all, my Father in heaven. Then I go on with my life. The same thing, everything we do, we have to take it in our mind that we do it for God.
Is that like the things that were created before the Shabbat?
Yes.
They're in the world, but they're waiting there for us to find.
We say in Yom Friday, Vayechulu Hashamayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzva'am. Vayechal Elokim Bayom Vayechulu. What is Vayechulu? Finished. Yes? But let's take the word in Hebrew. Kol. What is kol? Everything. What is Lehachil? To contain. Now let's think. Why does the Torah use Vayechulu? What? Was really the job ended? Nothing moves on Shabbos? What, the sun doesn't rise on Shabbos? Rain doesn't come on Shabbos? Everything is moving. So what did the, exactly, well, what's the meaning of everything stopped? Nothing stopped.
The creation stopped.
Let's say, the Kodesh Baruch Hu put all the creation in the Shabbos. The Shabbos contains everything. Vayuchulu, it contains akol. Akol is in Shabbos. Vayuchulu ha-shamayim ve-aretz. What does it mean? Everything that is going to happen from the day of the creation to the end of days is already there, waiting. That's to your question, yeah. And that's the answer. Everything is there. Vayuchulu ha-shamayim ve-aretz. It's there. The Kodesh Baruch Hu in the 7 days finished everything. Whatever is going to happen is already finished. It's written. It's done. And when the time comes, it's going to happen. But it's not being created now. That's why when Moshe Rabbeinu says that to the with the story with Korach ve'Adato, that the earth will open the mouth. So they say that this was already created before Bereshit. But if you think, it's written, Bivra Bri'a Chadasha. What Moshe Rabbeinu is asking is for something new, which is very strange. But when we start understanding that really everything was created in those 7 days, in other words, there's nothing new now. How did Shlomo HaMelech say? En Chadash Tachat HaShemesh. There is nothing new. Why, it happened only now? Yes, because now it popped out. But it was there all the time. That's why it's written, Vayechulu ha-shamayim va-aretz v'chol tzva'am. Vayechal Elokim b'yom ha-shvi'i. And God put in the 7th day on Shabbos the power for the whole week. For everything. Now we start to look at Shabbos in a different way. The same thing with the Torah. The Torah is not a story. It's real life happening every day. And when the Torah tells us that when you bring Bikurim, you say the same thing that you say on Pesach, the meaning is that there is something similar here. What is similar between Bikurim and Pesach? What's the connection?
Pesach and Shavuot are connected.
Bikurim is Bikurim. We say on Shavuot, but it doesn't have anything to do with Yom Tov. Bikurim is to take the first fruit, give it to God. And by the way, to understand that every time I tell the same story, to understand this, the quality of this mitzvah, the idea behind, is when you come home and you bring your son or your grandson, you bring something that he really, really loves. For example, it can be a certain candy, whatever they, you know, he really loves it. So you bring it to him, and of course, the first thing is he's going to take it and eat it. Now imagine to yourself that he doesn't eat it. He says, "Father, or grandfather, or grandmother, first you." How do you feel now? Good, huh? Very good. That's mitzvah bikurim. That's the idea of bikurim. The first thing, though I want it, I really want it, especially when we talk about Bikurim. This guy was growing this tree for 3, 4, 5 years. It doesn't happen in one day. It's a seed you put in earth, then you teach it, then it grows to a plant, then it grows to a tree, and then there are fruits, and then eventually, Baruch Hashem, after 4 or 5 years, you have the fruit that you can eat. What would you want to do now?
Eat it.
After all I put into it? A Jew doesn't eat it. Just 1 minute. That's for God. This is showing our love. This is the basic of Judaism. Love. Love to God. Love to human being. I am not being selfish. I am concerned about God. I'm concerned about the universe. I don't care about myself. Also, I admit that though I was the one who was working very hard for this tree to grow up and give the fruit, who really did it? God. That's the reason God took us out of Egypt. God took us out from slavery to freedom in order to keep Mitzvat Bikurim, to come to Eretz Yisrael, to take the holiness and put it in the earth. To the point that even the fruit, you take it and elevate it to God. That's what we're doing here. That's our job. In other words, now we understand that not only that Bikurim doesn't exist, it is the basic of everything we do. In the Jewish tradition, of course. In our faith. We believe that Father in heaven loves us. And He loves us so much, especially now, when He opens His arms and wants to hug us. So we have to show Him our love. How do we show Him our love? When in everything we do, the first thing we think is about God. I wrote in the Dvar Torah this week about I had a lot of interesting things happening to me in this visit in Shanghai. Because, as I said, it's always a lesson, whatever happens to you in life. One of the biggest lessons, by the way, was, and I must say it again and again and again, the feeling that, not like in Europe or in any other places in the world, people adored me because I was Jewish. It's unbelievable. The Chinese love us. Not only love us, they adore us because we are clever. And when I was walking with my kippah and my tzitzis outside, which I asked first of all the keilah, how should I walk there? He says, no problem. On the contrary, if they see you with the kippah and the tzitzis, they will admire you. They will treat you like a god. I was laughing. Yes. That's the way it was. You know, I stopped in one of two or three places on the exhibition with people that own factories that make millions. And they just saw me, and the one who is the general manager, the owner of the factory or whatever, he came to talk with me. And he told me how he admires the Jewish nation. And I felt already so, you know, we're not used to it. And then I understood the idea. They say Shlomo HaMelech ruled the whole world with his wisdom. Can you believe this? After what I went in China, I believe it. Suddenly they realize that if people look from the spiritual point of view at you, what the Torah tells us, ki hi chokhmatchem uvinatchem le'enei ha'amim. Those who go in the way of the Torah, the real way, this is the real wisdom of the world. And because I thought about it, because in the East, they are more spiritual than in the West. The West is everything about money, 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 money. In the East, you have all those, they are idol worshippers, but everything is connected to the spiritual part of the body. It's not only the outside, it's the inside. That's why they look at us, because we have the real true inside. And it was a great feeling. At least one place in the world, somebody looks at you and admires you. So if any one of us wants to understand what's the Mashiach Zeit I'm going to look, like a freckle of it, should go to China and see it and feel it. But as I said, one of the interesting experience I had was davening Mincha in the exhibition. Now this is a huge exhibition. When I'm talking about huge exhibition, I go to big exhibition like in Germany, which is really, this is one of the biggest exhibitions in the world for furniture. This is nothing to what's happening in Shanghai, in China. Like you had a shuttle going around to take people from one side of the exhibition to the other side. And if you wanted to walk, you walked for hours. And even if you walked for hours, you couldn't finish the exhibition. And to see, they tell us, it's very easy to keep the mitzvahs easy. It's not easier, let's say. Let's put the right word in. It's easier to keep the mitzvahs in your normal environment where you're used to. You have your schedule, you know what you're doing. But it's very hard to keep the Jewish tradition, the Jewish way, when you go abroad, far away, where there is a problem to do what you used to do. But then that's when you are tested. When you come to a place where there are no kosher restaurants, and if there is, there's maybe one or two that you have to walk or drive or who knows what to do. There are not people like you. You haven't got your shul near you. And then God wants to see, what are you going to do? It's very easy to say, you know, I'm not in my home. And because of this, and to a certain limit, yes, it's right. You know, you cannot do everything. No, you're in a foreign country, far away from home. So you daven in your room. You bring food from Israel, or you eat fruits or whatever, and you manage. But the real chokhmah is, even though it's hard, you try to do what you used to do. When I went there to Bet Chabad, it says we have shachrit, but mincha and mariv, we haven't got there. Shachrit we can daven now. So the first thing is, maybe if they organize them, so Baruch Hashem, there were people that we set the time, and we came and done married there. But that's all right. You know, you finish the exhibition, you go wash yourself, you go to the, it's not far away. What do you do with Mincha? Mincha is in the middle of the day. Now you have to understand, people come from all over. You know, most of the people I met there were not from Israel, the Jews. Argentina, Colombia, Peru, Los Angeles, New York, all over. I'm talking about those who came to Bet Chabad, they were wearing kippot. Yes, they were wearing kippot. I met in the exhibition from other Jews, but didn't wear kippot.
But it's known that Mincha is the most difficult tefillah. To get people.
Yes.
Yes.
Now imagine to yourself being on an exhibition. You came far away for this exhibition. You have limited time. You know, you have to understand, you can stay there the whole week. From the morning, for the opening hour to the closing hour, and you would not go through the whole exhibition. Impossible. It's so much to see. And it's so big. Now, if somebody comes there, he wasted the money, took the thing, he came from his business, he has to use the time for the exhibition. But this guy gets it, let's do Mincha in the exhibition. So, of course, a few says, wow, it's impossible, we don't know where we're going to be at that tower, and, you know, it's, as I said, it's distances. But, Baruch Hashem, there was a group with us together, we had a minyan. So we said we're going to meet in the central entrance. The only problem is that we realized later on that there are four entrances. And you have to understand, when you go to one entrance, to go to the other, it's around, almost running, around 20 minutes. This is not an easy job. Anyway, we said, and then when the time came, me and my son, we got to the entrance and we realized two things. One, as I said, it's not the only entrance. And secondly, this is not the entrance maybe we, because there was nobody there. So we're walking around, a little disappointed. No, we did the Ishtadlut at least.
This wonderful thing that you got here, you couldn't use your telephone?
For what?
To contact each other.
It's not so simple, you know. I cannot use the phone because I have only the internet. I took a chavilat glisha, what they call. And I didn't have his WhatsApp. And you know, we didn't think about it. You know, we don't. We said an hour. And you know, I'm a yeke. Say an hour. I'm going to be there. The point is, it didn't say where exactly. Yeah. Said that the main entrance. But the main entrance, they have four entrances,
but
at least.
Is also
of course. So I said, well, at least we did the Shtadlus. Suddenly we see three brothers from, they were from New York. They are dealing with, not with furniture, but with cutlery and things that it was about, huge exhibition. Everything connected to home was there. And it's that, and we realized that they also did the mistake, and it's not there. So he had the phone of the other guy, the WhatsApp, like, phone through the WhatsApp. So I phoned him, where are you? He says, I'm in the main entrance. Says, we're also in the main entrance. Says, no. Says, no. Then we realized that, so he says, okay, wait. And while we're walking, he's talking with them because they lost their patience. You know, it's taking time. And as I said, you know, people didn't come there to play games. They came forward for a walk. And Baruch Hashem, we're walking and walking and walking and walking. We get there. We get to the main entrance. Now, where are you going to daven? You know, imagine to yourself, you're in a hall, a big hall, thousands of people going around. It's China. Most of them talk Chinese. Don't understand a word in English and not in any other language. And then somebody had the idea, set a post office on the side, and we went there and we explained them with the movement of our hands that we want to. And as I said, because they saw us with this, they just gave us to do whatever we want. And we had a minyan, Baruch Hashem, and we davened mincha in Shanghai, in the entrance hall, in the post office. And this was a Kiddush Hashem from one side, and from the other side it was an unbelievable feeling. Now, to do this in China, to see, to try really, and keep whatever you can, though you're not with no normal conditions. This is the test. Especially now in Chodesh Elul. To try and do a little more. And even if it's hard to understand and read, that's a special time. It's so special that whatever we do in this time, it's worth 5-6 times more than when we do it in the other days of the year. Because HaMelech Basadeh, the king is with us. And the Melech Basadeh, you have to understand it. When we talk about a Melech Basadeh, what is the Melech Basadeh?
It's available.
It's all year available. What's the difference?
It's closer during
amongst the us.
It's a higher level. It's like God is telling us, you know, I don't care what you did. Show me your love. Bring me Bikurim. And I will forgive you. And I will embrace you. Just do the first step. Always I imagine to myself, our Father in heaven comes, opens his arms. And what do? Normally, the picture, the normal picture would be, a father opens his arms to his little kid, and the little kid runs from the other side of the room to hug his father. That would be the normal picture. Imagine to yourself that the kid on the other side of the room sees his father, turns around, and goes away. Don't we do this? Don't we act to Chodesh Elul like it's another month? We shouldn't. You should understand and realize that this is a special time. And I said it also this week, you know, people are sometimes frightened. And really, they tell us so much about fear. Samar mipach decha b'sari, says David HaMelech. And, you know, we get this atmosphere of really heavy. Chodesh Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. We feel bad. Doing tshuva. Slichas, heavy feeling. We don't like this feeling. We would be very happy to be after Yom Kippur, to finish it. And how wrong we are. And I'm talking also to myself. Because if we would really realize the power of this month, the power of Rosh Hashanah, the power of Yom Kippur, We should be dancing in the street. Imagine to yourself a son, the children that did so many bad things to the father through the whole year. And the father tells them, you know what? I don't care what you did. This month, I forget everything. I get you with a new page. Is this a happy time or a sad time?
Happy time.
Everything is wiped out. You have your chance to change everything. But from the other side, somebody who is not going to do something about it is not only stupid, he is evil. And what do you think God is going to think about somebody like this? For this guy, that's Yamim Noraim in this condition. He should be frightened. But somebody who realizes the quality and the ability of those days to do a big change in his life, to give him a whole year of happiness, of wealth, health.
And what happened is today I read in the newspaper, I read yesterday also what this guy, the Jinji, that is Haver Knesset, that had the Pigua, he was telling about Migron. He said, he showed Migron and how it is today and how it was and why they took out all the people, the Jewish people that lived there. Why? Because someone said that the Beit Mishpat said that there was an owner. But till now, nobody came to ask
to claim it.
To claim. Today, they decided, the Beit Mishpat, about other settlements, that they took out every Jew because the Hussein gave this land, he divided the land for the Arabs. But there is no owner, because maybe these owners are already dead, or maybe the owners already this and that. And what will be? The land is Hashem gave to us. It's written here in the first line. Gave to us. Now the Beit Mishpat that are Jews, they are people, our people, they are giving.
I'll read you the first pasuk of the parsha. והיה כי תבוא אל הארץ אשר השם אלוקיך נותן לך נחלה וירשת וישבת בה. Now, if, as I said, if you take the Torah, you know, I had a talk with somebody and we're talking about, I cannot believe Rabbi Akiva was suffering, happy, this, but Rabbi Akiva, like they were torturing him and seeing and whatever. I said, I cannot believe he was happy about it or whatever. I says, do you believe that they tortured him? Why do you believe? Because it's written. Now, if you believe they tortured him, you have to believe also that he said what he said. If you don't believe this also, so we've got no problem. In other words, you cannot take the half story. If you want to take the story, you take it as it is. In other words, if you take the Torah, you cannot choose things, take them out, and the other is not my concern. The Torah, you have to take it as all. And the same thing is, if you're telling me that what I'm doing here in Israel is because of the Bible, that's why I'm here. So according to the Bible, Medinat Israel was established more than 2,000 years ago by David HaMelech. Yoshua Bin Nun came in,
yeah.
We had a kingdom here, so who is now the intruder? But if your history starts 70 years ago, you have a problem. Should everybody go out from here? Nothing belongs to us. So you have to decide. If you say, I am here because of the Bible, so I'm sorry, the whole country is ours. And the intruders are the Arabs.
No.
If you say, no, yes, it was ours. We left. We came back. 1 minute. So the state is only established 70 years ago, 66 years, 67, whatever. So you've got no claim. So that's all that I'm saying. You start arguing with me. Well, first of all, I want to put it on the table. If you're talking with me about Palestinians and rights and everything, I'm sorry. I'm not the right address. Because when you go in Jerusalem and you see all those, digging all those things, and you see the history of Am Israel there. What are you talking about? What, 200 years? 300 years? 400 years? I'm talking with you about more than 2,000 years. So what are you talking about? And you see the proof in earth, everywhere. Go to the Galil. All the Tanaim and Amoraim are being buried there.
I cannot believe.
Because when Bet HaMishpat rules according to the Goyim, that's the result. We have Beis Din. We don't go to Bet HaMishpat. We go to Beis Din. And Beis Din will rule according to the Torah.
No.
That's what I'm saying. That's our problem today. Because we are not connected. It comes to a way that when they try to teach in schools our tradition, they call it Kfiyah Datit. Sorry, this is ridiculous. You go take the Independence Declaration. It's written, this is a Jewish nation. We came here to Eretz Israel to establish not a Muslim state, a Jewish state. Why? Why? Why did we come here?
Because it was home.
Where is it written? So you cannot take the Torah and decide one. This one, I agree with this. This, I don't agree. Or you take the whole Torah, believe in it, and if you believe it, the Torah tells you exactly what to do. But if you don't believe in it, that's the big argument.
But this time, when you were talking about the Chodesh Elul and Hashem Basadeh, and that we need to make tshuva, and this and that, and then make Mishpat decide to take out Jews from their houses and destroy all these cities, that is not settlements, but what they call. And it became like klum again.
But this is a procedure that we go on in life again and again and again. It's not the first time it happens.
Yes,
but this doesn't mean that we stop believing.
I am feeling like this.
Yes, this is all a big test. This is all a big test for us. And we must not lose our confidence and our faith in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is trying us, but look from the other side. We are surrounded with millions of enemies. And they all love us and adore us, like in China.
Yes, like you said, in China. What helped me that in China they love
it? It helps you. I tell you what it helps you. God is showing you that that's the right way. That's the wrong way. Now, what's wrong? Why is it wrong? The truth is, as you said, when a Bet Mishpat here in Eretz Israel can rule like this, that's why everybody hates us.
Ah, yes.
Because instead of doing our job and doing the right thing, and our job is to get closer to God and bring the whole world closer to God. But instead of this, we try to be like them. And we want them to like us. When you do this, everybody will hate you. When you take the Torah, ki hi chokhmatchem ve'atchem, that the Torah tells you. That's the only thing that keeps Am Israel, the Torah, nothing else. That's why we sit here and learn every week to understand and realize what the Torah tries to tell us, how should we act today. And another point to understand. You see, if we think that this world is the main thing, so we have a big problem. But if we understand that whole this world is a fiction. It's just a passageway to the next world. In other words, and with this we'll end the shiur, I also talked about it this week. One of the One of the most interesting psukim in our parsha is telling us, "Tachat asher lo avata et Hashem Elokecha besimcha." You will get all the curses and all the punishment because you didn't worship God with happiness. Why? I can do the whole mitzvahs of the Torah, but if I do them without happiness, not only I didn't do anything, I'm going to be cursed. Why? Because if you don't do it with happiness, what does it mean?
You're not genuine.
You don't believe it. Because if you believe the Torah is true, and if you believe this world is only a passageway, and what is waiting for you is eternity, with the most beautiful things of the world, so you should be happy on any test you have here. Because every test you have here is going to elevate you more. As I said, take the glass, fill it up, half water, half salt. Can you drink it? Mm-hmm. Now if I tell you it take $2 billion, would you drink it? Somebody here is not going to drink it? Everybody's going to drink it.
Can you drink $2 billion?
No, what? Said he'll give me $2 billion.
$2 billion? $2 billion?
You give me? I'm not drinking.
You're not drinking?
Salt with water.
You get $2 billion after you finish.
Think about it.
You drink it very quickly. Quicker than you can get it, you drink it.
I just want to say.
And only one. Sorry, 1 minute. And nevertheless, you will also be happy when you drink it.
Yeah.
Why? Because you know that every drop you're drinking is giving you those closer to the $2 billion.
But you might not live out.
Salt? Why not?
Salt?
Why not?
Salt can do damage. Yeah.
You know what? I promise you also eternity, okay? Take this now. Now you take it? Now we drink it? Some of them say you go through hell, but after you finish hell, you get paradise. It's hard, but if you believe that paradise is there, if you believe that after going to this test in life, and it's a hard test, but you know that in the next room, everything is waiting for you. Would you go through the test? Of course you go. Would you be happy while you do it? Of course you will. It's a matter of believing. Now, God tells us, I brought you to this world for one purpose. Prepare yourself to the next world. That's all. So what is the task in life? This world? The next world. In other words, the more I be successful in the tests I'm getting here, the higher level I will get in the next world. Now, if I really believe it, would I be happy or sad? Of course I would be happy. So if I'm not happy, I've got a problem in my belief. So I have to work on it. Yeah, sorry.
You know what the Hasidish friend said to me? She said, you have to do as many rituals as you can in this world, because in the next world you can't do any more.
That's it. That's the place to do the mitzvahs. We cannot do them the next world.
I just want to say quickly, I deeply resent Obama trying to make peace between Israel and the Palestinians. It's none of his business. Israel is a sovereign state.
Everybody is mixing. It's not the first time, and it's not going to be the last time. Everybody thinks he can mix here and do whatever he asks us to do, whatever he wants to ask us. The way I look at it is, we are standing in front of Rosh Hashanah, and what we have to do is to bring our Bikurim, to show God that in this special time, we're using our time with Seichel, the same way as we davened Mincha, and we put the exhibition on the side for 15 minutes. We tried hard to do this minyan, though we were losing time in the exhibition. But for us, what was important is, first of all, God. And also from a very egoistic point, because we understand and realize and believe that who is giving us the parnasa? The exhibition? Nah. God is giving us the exhibition, the parnasa. The exhibition is the shtadlut. That's all what it is. So if I come there and I will show God that I understand that this is only shtadlut, And I still try and keep whatever it is and show him that for me, my belief is that though I came there and though there are everybody waiting for me and who knows how much business I can do, I know that the only one who is going to give me the business is God. That's why in the exhibition I pray to God. And I do mincha in a minyan. That's our bikurim. Now, especially this time, close, to try and do and show our love to God. Whatever is the first thought is for God. And Bezrat Hashem, if we do this, we will get also the beautiful blessing here. And one of the famous ones is Baruch Atah Bevoecha uBaruch Atah Betzetecha. Baruch Atah Bevoecha, you're welcome when you come, and Baruch Atah, and you're also being blessed when you go out.